Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, May 2nd, episode 49 in this podcast. In today's podcast, we get into a bunch of topics. Number one, we'll recap game number 5, in which Dallas won handily at the Clippers by 30, and we'll get you previewed for game 6 with, obviously, Dallas at home. We'll get into what I think needs to be some kind of adjustments, and can the Clippers force a game number 7. Next, we'll start looking at the teams that got bounced out of the playoffs. We'll look at the Lakers, who lost 4-1 to the Denver Nuggets. What can the Lakers do next year to try and make another title run for LeBron James? We'll then go look at the Pelicans, who were swept 4-0 by the Thunder. What can the Pelicans do to take that next step as a young team? Next, we'll look at a team that's been a perennial winner in the NBA, and that's the Miami Heat, getting trounced 4-1 after getting blown out last night by the Boston Celtics. What can the Miami Heat do to tweak their roster to get themselves back to the upper echelon in the Eastern Conference? And then lastly, we'll talk about the Phoenix Suns, a team that was really was a favorite in their series versus Minnesota and got swept. What can Matt Ishbia, James Jones, and Frank Vogel do with the Phoenix Suns? Well, let's get started in the podcast by first looking at the one game that was played last night, a 123-93 win by the Dallas Mavericks on the road at the Clippers to take a 3-2 series lead. When you look at this game, obviously, you're going to first look at Luka Doncic, which was absolutely fantastic, with 35 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. And obviously, you can look at also the play of Kyrie Irving, who has been really masterful as well. Didn't really score the ball a lot last night, but really did a great job of getting assists. His assist prop, I think, was at 4.5. He comfortably went over with it 6. But then you have to look at some of the other players that stepped up. Maxi Kleber with 15 points in 19 minutes, 5-7 from three-point land. And then obviously the biggest plus minus, or one of the biggest plus minuses, was Derek Lively II, the rookie out of Duke, with a really strong 12.7 rebound performance in 25 minutes, as Daniel Gafford is really not giving him what he was giving them in the regular season. On the flip side, rough night for the two superstar players of the Clippers that are playing. Paul George, 4-13 from the floor, 13-11. James Harden, 2-12 from the floor for 7 points. Really put themselves in a hole in regards to what happens the rest of the way. Now, when you look at the Clippers, folks, I know that they have won some games without Kawhi Leonard. But people have to realize, going into game 6, in which the Dallas Mavericks are a 7.5-point favorite over under 206.5, as people talk about how great Kawhi is offensively, you got to look at folks as also that's their top defender, right? And to lose a caliber of defender of Kawhi Leonard really takes a lot out of a team in the Clippers. And let's be honest, doesn't have a lot of stoppers. I know man can play some pretty good defense, but when you're talking about a team that has Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, two guys that can be on the first side of the floor, meaning they can initiate the offense with the other one on the other side, you can't load up on these two guys. And basically, they could trade off of who is the primary big scorer. So obviously, last game, you know, it was Kyrie. That was absolutely fantastic. Luka was off, but then they flip spots. And I think the thing that is crazy about this is in that 30-point win, Luka and Kyrie combined to shoot 3-15 from 3. So if they start hitting threes, right, because they're making their twos, if they start making threes, there's no way the Clippers can compete with them because they don't have the offensive firepower losing Kawhi, or they don't have the defensive prowess. Now, when you look at the Clippers, you know, one thing that's been a really positive, I would say, for the early part of this series has been the play of Ivaka Zubac, who started out with 20-15, 13-12. But if you look at the last 3 games, yes, he scored 19, 13, 15, but the rebounding numbers of 8, 4, and 6, that has been a problem there with Ivaka, who was a guy that averaged nearly a double-double each game. Now, when you look at the flip side, I think you can attribute that to, let's be honest, the play of Derek Lively, right? I know he only had 2 rebounds in 9 rebounds in game number 2, only 2 in game 3, but 6 and 7 in games 4 and 5. So if you see Derek Lively's second rebounding prop in that 4.5 mark, look for Derek Lively's second to go over it, because it looks like you're not getting what you need to get out of Daniel Gafford. Now, on the flip side, the other thing you need to look at for the Mavericks, to me, is their front court defense of P.J. Washington and Derek Jones, which kind of can frustrate Harden and PG-13. So those two have really shored up the defensive play. And here's the thing, folks. Like, you got to realize with this team, you know, they're also playing without Tim Hardaway Jr., who, you know, did not look good for exiting the series, you know, and not playing. So you got a team in Dallas who I thought was a bad matchup with the Clippers fully healthy. And now they're even a worse matchup without Kawhi. Game number 6, set for Friday night. Dallas -7.5. I fully expect Dallas to close out the series. You don't want to play with your food. You don't want to send this back to the Clippers for a game number 7. I fully expect Dallas to get the win, and I think they get the cover. They win by double digits. Let's move on to teams that were eliminated from the playoffs here. Let's start with the Lakers. You know, when you look at the Lakers, they lose 108-106, losing in 5 games to Denver. And I think the thing that you have to look at is, number one, the play of LeBron James was fantastic. 39-11. He gave everything that you needed to get. Now, Anthony Davis didn't give you what you needed offensively in regards to points, but still rebounding the ball, shot the ball over 50% from the floor. When you look at the other side, I don't know who to compare it to. Excuse me. Jamal Murray in the playoffs, this is now a thing. Like, and it's every year. You know, but the first one was Bubble Murray, right? What he did in the bubble, and him and I think it was Donovan Mitchell had that duel in the playoffs years ago when Donovan Mitchell was still with Utah. What Jamal Murray does in the playoffs, it's flat out scary. He takes this game to another level. And if you think about Jamal, excuse me, I'm like sneezing, coughing. It's like, you know, springtime, folks. When you think about Jamal Murray, he elevates his game to another level when he gets to the playoffs. Think about this. I do believe Jamal Murray has the biggest differential in points per game in his career from the regular season to the playoffs. He elevates his game to another level. And when he's able to do so, now you have problems, right? Because you can score and you get assists, right? Obviously, Michael Porter Jr., what he can do for the three-point line. We know about Jokic. We know about the coaching. But let's pump our brakes, and we'll have time to talk about Denver. Let's focus on the Lakers. Folks, you know, Charles Barkley said something to me last night that was interesting, and I don't agree a lot with Charles Barkley. He said that, you know, people got to stop looking at the coach as always the problem and start looking at the people that build the roster. And Charles is absolutely right. Now, is Darvin Ham one of the 5 best coaches in the NBA? Absolutely not. Is he top 10? Probably not. Is he top 15? I don't know. Maybe not. But where's Rob Pelinka in this mess? Where's Rob Pelinka that has built this roster? Where's Rob Pelinka that went and got Russell Westbrook? Where's Rob Pelinka when he didn't trade Russell Westbrook when he should have, right? Where has Rob Pelinka been in building out this roster? See, here's the problem, folks. There's a couple of things that need to be addressed with the Lakers. Number one, D'Angelo Russell needs to get traded. D'Angelo Russell, when he gets into the playoffs, turns into a damn pumpkin. And it's happening time after time after time. D'Angelo Russell's not trusted enough to be a number 3 scorer. So if you're Rob Pelinka, or whoever the GM is, he must get traded this year. You got to get rid of him. That's number one. Number two is you got to get guys that can defend on the perimeter. Austin Reeves, good player, not a great defender. You know, Jared Vanderbilt, yeah, you missed him. But there's no one else on that roster. There's no one else on that roster you can go in there and say, go defend. Like, if you look at, like, the Knicks, right? A guy like a Deuce McBride, backup guard, he would be perfect for a team like the Lakers. Come in, disrupt, push the pace, knock down a shot or two, and get in your face and be a dog defensively. They don't have that in L.A. They don't have those young, hungry defensive guys. Huchefino isn't that type of guy. Max Christie isn't that type of guy. They need to go get a guy that can play some defense. Now, could that be Bronny James? I don't know. I think Bronny James can defend. I don't know if he's ready for the NBA. The third thing they need is they need more shooting. Austin Reeves, good shooter, right? But you look at the rest of these guys. You brought in Gabe Vincent. Why isn't this kid playing? Proven track winner. Can knock down shots. Hard-nosed, smart kid. They need to play these guys. Torian Prince, decent player. He doesn't do it for me. Rui Hachimura, he was in Washington with the Wizards. They got rid of him. Why? Because he's not that good. He can help out. Cam Reddish. Oh, my God. Don't tell me I'm even starting. They had Cam Reddish on the team earlier this year. He didn't even see the floor in the playoffs. So if you're the Lakers, you got to get more athletic and better defensively, right? You got to get better shooting. And if you could do those two things and hope that Darvin Ham takes the next step, if you bring him back, they could be better. But if you don't do that, you must more than anything the Lakers, you must get rid of Rob Pelinka and get a better basketball guy in. Let's move on to the Pelicans, who lost and got swept by the Thunder, losing 97-89 in game number 4. It's very simple, folks. When you look at the Pelicans, when they lose Zion, they lose their identity, right? They lose the crowd pleaser. They lose their grit. They lose their toughness. They lose their in-your-face, I'm driving it to the hole, and I'm going to bang it on every one of you. You saw what he did, right? You saw what he did in that game against the Lakers. Absolutely fantastic. I know they got by, you know, in Sacramento. But Sacramento had lost Huerter. They had lost Monk. They had lost their way. But, folks, I mean, it's very simple. The number one thing the New Orleans Pelicans have to do is they have to trade Brandon Ingram. I'm going to say it. Either trading B.I. or you're trading Zion. One of them has to get moved. And B.I. is young enough, folks, and you're going to get a lot of assets in return for him. You need to move Brandon Ingram because he's far too inconsistent. And not only that, he gets injured too much. So you can't have two superstars or two stars in Ingram and Zion that are not reliable because they both get hurt a lot. One of them's got to go. And to me, Zion is the face of the franchise. So to me, Brandon Ingram can get moved and you get enough for him. That's number one. Number two is you got to move Trey Murphy to the three. Trey Murphy, I love his game. 3-D, loved him out of Virginia. He is not a two guard. I know he's 6'9". He's not a two guard in today's NBA. He's a 3-D guy, right? They need a better two guard there. Now, to me, what you do is you get a better two guard, right? You go with you know, obviously, Trey Murphy, Zion, Valanciunas, CJ McCollum, better two guard, bring Herb Jones off the bench. And then I think you got something, right? And then I think the third thing you do is you go get a better backup big for Valanciunas. Someone that can eat up space, get rebounds, play good defense, you know, get an offensive rebound. You don't need to go get anybody crazy, like an Andre Drummond. Someone that would want to go play with these young guys, play with Zion, right? Give Valanciunas a little bit of a rest. But, you know, and I think they actually miss in a way, they actually missed a Jackson Hayes a little bit because I think he was good in that role there. But to me, the number one thing they got to do is they got to move B.I. Like, B.I.'s got to get moved, folks. I know he's so talented, but the return you can get, it can be so good, especially if you can plug in a starting two guard there that can knock down shots and spread the floor. For CJ McCollum, and definitely for Zion, have driving lanes, and then you have a 3-D guy and a Trey Murphy, the third, and then a two guard can knock down threes, and then those driving lanes are good, and Valanciunas in the dunk spot, and Valanciunas is actually a sneaky good shooter. So those are the main things that I would do if I were the Pelicans. But the number one thing, more than anything, they have to move on from B.I. Brandon Ingram has to get moved. Let's move on to the Miami Heat, a team that's been perennial winners in this league for a long time. That Heat culture is real, but their Heat culture ran into a buzzsaw, and their buzzsaw was the Celtics. You think they were a little pissed off at last year? You think they took it out of them? You think they were happy as hell to get them in the first round? 118-84, a thorough beatdown. Folks, this game was 41-23 at the end of one. It was over. It was over. And as soon as Miami won game number two, when they shot the lights out, I knew right then and there this series was absolutely over. So when you are the Miami Heat, what do you need? As great as Jimmy Butler is, and he didn't play this postseason because of injury, as good as what I think scary Terry Rozier could be, folks, you need a true number one scorer. That is not Jimmy Butler. That is not him. Playoff Jimmy? Jimmy Nice. All season Jimmy? Plus he's getting a little bit older. He needs a co-pilot, right? He needs someone that he could be Robin to Batman or vice versa. So if I am Miami, the first thing I'm doing, and I know this may not be a chance, I'm calling Phoenix and I'm seeing if Kevin Durant is available. I think Kevin Durant in Miami would be absolutely fantastic. He could be paired with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Obviously, you could center the trade around Tyler Hero, even though I don't know if that works because they already have Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. So it may have to be a three-team trade. I am going star hunting if I'm Miami. And I'm going to go try and find a superstar that I can pair with Jimmy Butler. Okay? So I'm going to try and see what I can get for Kevin Durant. I am looking at what happens in Milwaukee if Dame just gets frustrated and wants out. I got to remember, folks, Portland never let Miami put their best offer on the table. They were never sent into Miami because that's what Dame wanted. Maybe this is the way of trying to get Dame now, is if things go south, they lose game number six, which is we played tonight between Milwaukee and Indiana, and maybe it's somehow you can get Dame that way. You got to go get a true number one scorer. Maybe you see what happens with Paul George. Maybe there's a sign and trade right there. The center around Tyler Hero. Paul George is going to be a free agent, right? So you got to go get that number one score. And the problem with number one scorers, guys, is there's only about 10 of them, 10 or 12 of them in the league. 15 of them, maybe. And the majority of times, they're not going to be available. So Pat Riley's got to find a way to go get a number one guy to pair with Jimmy and Bam, because I don't think either one of them are really true dominant number one scorers. Number two, they got to fix the bench. I like Jaime Hawkins. I think he's more of a sixth man. Duncan Robinson just tremendously overpaid. Maybe if you get a true, you know, number one scorer, especially if it's a two guard, you get an upgrade at a point guard. I don't know where you get that from. Maybe on the cheap. And then you can bring someone like Terry Rozier off the bench, right? You can bring Jaime Hawkins off the bench and lengthen out that team because they have too many stretches where they can't score. Here's the thing, folks. You know Miami's going to draft well. They're going to get a good kid because they always do it. Hawkins is the perfect example of someone who were like, this guy's not that good. Go to Heat. Oh, yeah, he can be all right. He's going to be good. Yeah, he'll be a good pro. So to me, Pat Riley has done a great job of building a roster. He's got to go get that number one score. He needs that in Miami to pair with Jimmy and with Bam. As for the Celtics, I just think they're just an absolute juggernaut. I don't know who the hell in the East has a chance. I think the only team, I don't even know if they're going to make it there. I don't even know if they're going to make it out of this round. And I'm a fan of their team. The only team I think could give the Celtics maybe some kind of run is maybe the Knicks. Maybe the Knicks, because they're a defensive tenacity, and especially if Porzingis is out, which he should be out to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's end today's podcast by talking about another team that got swept. And this one, folks, is the most surprising one of them all, and that's the Phoenix Suns losing 122-116 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm going to be dead honest. I had a ticket on the Suns, and I did not cash out because I really felt like they were going to be able to do it because of their experience, of their big three, of Beal, Booker, and KD. But it became very apparent, even though I thought it was going to happen during the postseason, this does not fit. You have three guys, two in particular in Beal and Booker, who need ISO ball to create to score. You had Kevin Durant, who is a one dribble pull up, catch and shoot guy, who now thinks he's been relegated to the corner. And now he's all ticked off. So you know what that means? The excuses are here. And as much as you want to knock Kevin Durant, he's still one of the top 10 players in the NBA, or one of the five best scorers in the planet, and maybe one of the top 5 to 10 offensive scoring forwards in the history of this game. But he's being misused, and that is right. And I'm not putting this on Frank Vogel, okay? This goes to Matt Ishbia, the owner, who spent his money like a drunken sailor and has no idea what's going on. What he did is he thought he could put three guys together and make it like a game of NBA 2K and figure that those three guys can just go win. Here's the problem, folks. You need a facilitator. You need a point guard. That's the number one thing that needs to happen in Phoenix if they keep them all together. You have to go get a point guard. You have to get a true point guard that can get them in offense. Now, I want people to understand something. Don't look and talk to me about Devin Booker being a point guard. I get his assist numbers went up, but it was fool's gold last year, folks, when CP3 got hurt. He can get you the assists. He's not the facilitator. There's a difference. There's levels to this. Devin Booker is not a point guard. Bradley Beal is not a point guard. They are two guards. So, one of two options. Number one, you go three-guard offense. You move Kevin Durant to the power forward spot, and you go get yourself a true point guard that can get you into offense, that can facilitate, that doesn't want to worry about also having to take the brunt of the scoring on. Like a Mike Conley, but they can knock down shots, right? But then two, because of the way they're built, I think you got to make a trade. I firmly believe there's got to be a trade in Phoenix. And here's the thing. They don't control their first-round draft pick for like, I don't know, 7 years. Like this is what Matt Ishbia did. Like, and here's the thing, folks, and I want people to understand this, and I hopefully you get this. Number one, the days of three superstars together does not work. LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh broke the mold. They were the one that did it. Don't give me Golden State because Draymond wasn't a scorer. Does that make sense? He was a defender. He was the enforcer. He was the passer. He didn't care about scoring big numbers. So don't give to me three superstars with Draymond because that's not Draymond, even though he is a star. LeBron, Bosh, D-Wade, three ultimately great offensive players that all sacrificed, and they fit perfectly. Two, if you're going to try and build a team with three superstars, you cannot do it by trading for two of them. You got to draft two, and then you go get the third. Because when you have to trade for two, you empty the coffers of draft picks and young players and depth. Does that make sense? So when you look at this, right, you traded for Durant. You traded for, obviously, Beal. Now, you can talk about the fact that Golden State got Durant. Right? Folks, pump your brakes. The team won 73 games the year before Durant got there. So they were good enough without Durant. So don't give me Kevin Durant going to Golden State and be like, there's a third superstar. No. Golden State could have won a title without him. Oh, that's right. They won one after he left too. So there's your talk right there about Kevin Durant and whether he was the third guy. They didn't need him in Golden State. That's why it's interesting. Like, you look at a team like Philadelphia, Maxi and Embiid, there's your two superstars. You go trade for the third, or you go sign the third, like a Paul George in the offseason. See how that makes sense? You still don't have to empty the cupboard. You still have your assets available to you. So, number one, they need a true point guard. Number two, they got to trade one of these guys. And to me, I think it's going to be Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant gets moved because you can't keep Booker. I'm sorry. You can't keep Beal with Durant. Two aging stars. You got to keep Devin Booker. And why do you keep Bradley Beal? Look at his contract, folks. 50.2 in 25. 53.6 in 26. 57.1 in 27. Oh, by the way, he also has a full no-trade clause. Folks, shout out to Bradley Beal. The brother was a free agent a couple of years ago. He got the bag in Washington. He got the no-trade clause he wanted, and he got to go to the destination of his choice. You ain't going to see that a lot happen anymore. Bradley Beal may be one of the last. And Bradley Beal's a straight-up gangster for pulling this off. But now this means he can't get moved because no one's going to want that contract and the injury history of Bradley Beal. So that's why I said it's either got to be Durant or it's got to be Booker. And if you're Matt Ishbia, Mr. Drunken Sailor, you have to trade Durant. You're going to get less back than Booker because of the contract and the age. But you cannot trade Booker and have two aging stars, especially when you have a young team in Oklahoma City, a young team in Minnesota, a team in Denver that's not going anywhere, two stars together in Kyrie and Luka. Then you think about Memphis could be on the come up. If New Orleans figures it out, they're going to be on the come up. Houston was better this year, right? You have Wemby in San Antonio. Let's see what they get if they win the draft rights, which, you know, they win number one pick. It's the worst draft ever. But still, you can't trade Devin Booker. He's got to stay. So there gives you, if you think about it, what we think the Lakers need to do, right? What we think the Pelicans need to do, what we think the Suns need to do, and what Miami needs to do in the offseason to try and raise their profile. Folks, it's a new day, man. It's a new day in the NBA. You know, Steph and KD and he's got LeBron, like they're not in the second round. It's a new wave of NBA stars. And I think it's a damn exciting time to be in the NBA. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Listen, for all things sports gambling, just go download that Sports Grid app. Available on iOS and Google Play. Everything you need, your one-stop shop for everything basketball-related. Pre-game, post-game, in-game, prop predictions, and more. More than basketball. Baseball, we got you. Hockey, we got you. Football, we got you. Whatever you need when it comes to sports gambling, that is your one-stop shop. Next podcast, next week, we'll be through the first round. We'll preview the second round of the playoffs. And then I want to talk about this Olympic debacle. Did they get the right team? Not sure. They missed out on one guy at least. His name is Jalen Brunson. I know I'm a Knicks fan, but I still believe it. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. This is Coach Young. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.